Mental Independent Baptist churches in town. Well, you know what? This is all going on in about a month or two. And I was probably at the lowest point I could ever be in the ministry. And I came dragging in one Sunday morning, and I'll never forget, I got a call. And I picked up the phone, and I heard a voice on the other end. It was familiar to me. Another pastor in town, and my first thought was, great. Now I get the steel trowel treatment from the brethren. This is getting better all the time. And this is what he said. He said, Brother Rainey, he says, this is so-and-so. I just want to let you know I'm for you. And he said, you know what? You're doing a good work down there. He said, I've heard a lot of good things about you. He says, you just keep up the good work. He said, I've read that paper that they're spreading around about you. He says, it's not true, and I understand that. And he said, you know what? I told my people, if that guy ever comes to our church, he says, we're going to throw them out in your name. And I said, thank you. I appreciate that. You know, he was the only person who encouraged me during that time. But it meant a lot to me. Now, here you got David. He's got, what, 400-600 men at this time? Where were they? Why didn't they encourage him? Did they miss out on an opportunity? I believe they did. But, you know, there was a friend that he had. His name happened to be Jonathan, and he came to David when David needed him the most, and he strengthened his hand in the Lord. You know, in this difficult hour in David's life, the Bible says Jonathan makes his way to David. Now, I don't think Jonathan had a hard time finding David, because it was common knowledge throughout the land that David and Jonathan were good friends. David had no reason to fear Jonathan. Although Jonathan's father, King Saul, wanted to kill David, Jonathan loved him as his own soul. When Jonathan started inquiring about David, no doubt they knew where he was in the wilderness of Ziph, because Saul's army wasn't too far away. And he starts inquiring, there's probably some soldiers, and they all recognized who Jonathan was. They knew that him and David were close friends, and they no doubt pointed Jonathan in the right direction so he would meet David. And Jonathan was used by the Lord to strengthen David. The Bible says he went to David, and he strengthened David's hand in God. Now, our God is perfect, and his timing is just right. When Jonathan arrived at David's side, it was just the right moment for him to be there. Just when David needed strengthening. You know, no doubt, even though David was anointed with oil by Samuel the prophet himself, and he was told that he was going to sit on the throne of Israel, I imagine going through all that tough time that, you know what, he had some doubts. He's wondering if this is ever going to happen. He's being hunted and chased like a wild animal. And Jonathan comes along. What does he tell him? He said, listen, just keep the faith. What God has said will come to pass. I believe that is the way God works. When we are looking for him, we'll see him working that way. In the 14th verse, the Bible says in the closing part, and Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand. Every day. Can you imagine getting up every morning, knowing that your enemy's trying to take you out? Going to sleep at night after a day of trying to hide from him, wondering if he's going to find you in the middle of the night and take your life? Saul sought David, but the Bible says God delivered him. Now, there are many people, if you take a proper stand for the Lord, you know what? They're not going to like you. They're going to seek to do you wrong. And you know who's behind all of that? The devil. But you know what? We ought to be able to look to the Lord and trust Him for deliverance. You know, many people attend church week after week. They listen to the sermons being preached, but they do not realize that God wants to be real to them. He wants to be real in each of our lives. My life, your life, every one of us that name the name of Christ as Savior. Many of us, we observe God working in other people's lives. But do we realize God wants to do a work in our own life? He wants to reveal Himself to us? You may leave the church service talking about what the preacher said or what the preacher did or what God did for somebody else. But God wants to do something in your life. Do you know how God works? Oftentimes, He uses people in our lives to come, strengthen us, and point us to Him. All of us should be determined that we're going to be used of God to turn people to the Lord. You know, a lot of us, and I would say venture most of us, we're pretty good at criticizing other folks for maybe how they live or what's going on. We try to diagnose them, perhaps, like physicians of no value, like Job's friends are. Well, I'll tell you what, if they, you know, they were living right, this wouldn't happen to them. None of us are guilty of that, right? Just Job's three friends. They're in the Bible only because those are the three that did that. No, others are guilty of it. I remember when Connie was ill, I was getting blamed for her illness. From a so-called Christian. And I was threatened. If she passed, they're coming after me. And I'm thinking, praise the Lord. Now, do you think that really helped the situation? Is that what I needed to hear? Couldn't they not have called and said, you know what? I'm praying for you. I'm asking the Lord to strengthen you. And I'm asking him to heal Connie of that disease that she has. And you know what? Maybe I can help you out. Crazy, isn't it? But isn't that how so many of us are? You know, Jonathan decided, I'm going to be a help. I'm not going to tell Dave, hey, you rebel. Hey, why are you running away from my father? Why don't you stand up like a man? That would have been helpful, wouldn't it? You know you're not going to be the next king. I'm the prince. I follow. I'm his son. I'll be next on the throne. But Jonathan strengthened David's hand in God. When I consider that expression, I think of someone who's about to give up. But he receives a phone call from somebody who cares about them and says, you know what? Don't quit. Hang in there. I'm praying for you. David held on a little longer and he made it through. What about those 400 to 600 men? Where were they? I'm sure they were by his side. They may have been all for him. But nobody was encouraging him. Perhaps they thought, you know what, this is a futile effort. Why in the world are we following you? There's only 600 of us. The nation's not behind us. Maybe you're just a dreamer. I don't know what your particular situation might be, but I do believe God wants to strengthen you in the faith. I believe He wants you to know that He's on your side, that He's at work in your life, that He wants to take care of you, that He's watching over you. He's going to bring you through whatever you're going through at this particular moment. This is the message God desires for us to hear. We need to turn to Him. We need to trust in Him. You say, why? Because He's worthy. We are to do everything we can to strengthen other believers in the Lord. That's our part of our responsibility as believers. You know, we should want to help them trust the Lord. You see, it's a good thing when we come up to somebody we know going through a hard time and let them know we're praying for them and that God will see them through. Instead of just sitting back and observing their misery. Jonathan comes to David. He strengthens David's hand in the Lord. This would be the last meeting these two men would have on earth. They left something beautiful for us to behold concerning encouraging and strengthening one another in the faith. And my, what a precious friendship they had. You know, I've been rebuked by Rick Stuckey. Because when I was going through a difficult time, I never called him. You say, why didn't you call him? I was just keeping my eyes on Jesus and seeing, you know, making sure that I would make it through all right. I'm not one to whine. I'm not one to complain. I got a T-shirt that Earl gave me. It says, suck it up, buttercup. And I try to live by that slogan. Because life is hard. And I understand it. But you know what? We need to be there for one another. Whatever happened to being kind? Whatever happened to come alongside somebody? Whatever happened to the Barnabases? His name means comforter, encourager. Why can't we do that? We want it when we're going through that tough time. But we remain silent when somebody else goes through. We got to ask ourselves some questions. What kind of friend are we when we do that? Jonathan's relationship. Notice what it says. The Bible says that David and Jonathan loved one another, and Jonathan loved David as his own soul. Now, Jonathan had an unusual relationship with David, but the reason he had that relationship with David is because he had the right relationship with God. You know, we're capable of doing right, not because of who we are, but because of who we know. We ought to be capable of doing good, not because we ourselves are good, because there's none good, but because God lives in us and He enables us to do good. We're capable of being an encouragement, but we can't do it in our own strength. You say, why is not? We're selfish. We're selfish. You know, and until we get our eyes off ourselves and on the Lord and on others who are hurting, we're not going to be used by God in this ministry of encouraging one another. God will help us see other people. He'll help us see their needs. And he'll give us the ability to be an encouragement, not because of who we are, but because of who he is. Because Christ lives in us. And he is transforming our lives. You see, if our relationship with others is what it should be, it's only the result of our relationship and fellowship with Christ. Maybe we ought to be asking ourselves this morning, if I'm not encouraging others and I'm not coming to their side and helping and comforting and seeing them through, maybe it's because my relationship with God isn't what it ought to be. And we're not all that we think we are. You say, preacher, I was just hoping to get something teaching this morning. I didn't expect you to get on me that's like this. We all need it. Many times we're guilty of making matters worse. And we say some awful things to others that would better be left unsaid. So what are you talking about? Well, how about this? Well, you know, they're not doing right. For one, you don't know that. Even if you did, is that? Thanks. I need that. How many here think that they realize they're not doing right? Oh, but they need it repeated, don't they? Because repetition is the key to learning. They already know. You know, if you were living right, this wouldn't be happening to you. Thanks. You know, is that encouraging? No. Do they need another tongue lashing? Or do you maybe just think that the Holy Spirit already has dealt with them in certain things? And besides this, listen carefully. Unwanted advice is just that. It's unwanted. That's right. Now, if they ask you, that's a different story. You know, instead of talking to a husband or wife or a child about what they should do, maybe we ought to pray for them first. Maybe we ought to be praying, hey, Lord, deal with them and deal with me. Help me to be what I can be so I can encourage them in the things of God. You know, oftentimes we don't have a right relationship with others. I shouldn't say oftentimes, all the time. If we don't have a right relationship with others, it's because we don't have a right relationship with God. Well, nobody likes me. That's everybody else's fault. Isn't it? No, it's yours. It's yours. You know, if a man would be the husband and father he should be, and if he would love the Lord Jesus like he should love him, you know, I don't believe that would hurt a marriage. Especially if the wife would be the wife she ought to be, and the mother she ought to be, and if she loved Jesus like she ought to, you know what? They're going to have a really good marriage. You know, some marriages, there's more fighting and fussing than anything else. And the problem is, they don't have a right relationship with God. I believe the key to Jonathan helping David was that Jonathan loved the same God that David did. He served the same God that David loved and served. And that's why they got along so well. You know, if you're saved and Christ lives in you, then God will enable you to do right by other people. We need to get that matter settled, don't you think? How many would say, you know what, that's a wise thing that I have a right relationship with God so I can have a right relationship with others? That makes sense, doesn't it? You know, there ought to come a time in our lives when people shouldn't have to tell us to go to church. You know, one of the worst things I hate, and I don't do it very often, but is Gucci-gooing people to do what's right. You say, what do you mean, Gucci-gooing? It's like calling them up, hey, missed you, where you been? You know, why can't you do that on your own? If you had a right relationship with God, that would never take place. Now, sure, I'm supposed to encourage them, right? Yeah. But you know what? Why can't they get a right relationship with the Lord themselves? You know, there should come a time in our lives when, you know what? We should read the Bible all on our own every day and obey what it says. You see, if you're going to neglect the Bible, how many think you can have a good relationship with the Lord when you neglect His Word? Raise your hand. Then pray tell me, why don't you read it like you should? You know, there came a time in my life that should come a time in our lives when we just get up, we read the Word, and we spend time with the Lord every day. He should have preeminence before we do anything else. Now, has anybody ever heard me say that? I've been beating that into you folks ever since I've been here. But ask yourself, have I heeded that? Then we wonder why our day goes wrong. Wonder why we don't get along with others like we should. It's not because you didn't have a V8. It's because you haven't done what you were supposed to. You know, I'm glad that I learned these things at a young age in my Christian life, and that I have followed through those things for years, over 40 years. You know, Connie never gets up. When she gets up, she doesn't say, John, are you going to read your Bible today? John, are you going to pray today? She never had to say, John, are we going to church? She said those things, I'd give her the stink eye. I'd say, you talk as one of the foolish women talk. She doesn't have to ask me those things. You know, when I get up on Saturday morning, she doesn't ask me, John, where are you going? Oh, I'm just dressing up to go to Walmart. I'm here for soul winning. Nobody has to beg me. And by the way, I don't go just because I'm a pastor. I've been doing this a long time before I ever was pastoring. No one has to ask me. No one has to tell me. It's all part of living the what? Christian life. Now, David was anointed to take the throne. The throne that should rightly belong to David, or to Jonathan, the crown prince. You know, that would never have happened humanly possible. Who would give up the throne to the kingdom for some shepherd boy? Who'd do that? You better believe it was the Lord working in Jonathan's heart. Jonathan loved the Lord, and the Lord gave Jonathan a love for David's man. Then notice Jonathan's resolve. Jonathan made up his mind there was something he was going to do. He wasn't going to sit back and wait for somebody else to do it. He was going to take the initiative. Do you know what it was? He was going to be a help to his friend. You know, some of us need to make up our minds that we're going to do something to help somebody else out. Not just think about it. We're good at thinking. It needs to be followed up with action. How many here realize compassion is an action word? How many here realize faith is an action word? We're good at thinking. We're not all that good at doing. Thank God that Jonathan said, you know what? I see a friend in need, and I'm going to help him. David's in a wilderness, fleeing from his father. Saul's trying to kill him, and God delivers him. Jonathan said, you know what? I got to do something about this. I'm not simply going to go and visit. I'm going to do something. I'm resolved that I'm going to David, and I'm going to tell David, and I'm going to assist him in keeping his faith in the Lord. I want to encourage him to stand strong, because God is going to put him on the throne of Israel one day. I'm resolved, no matter what it takes, I'm going to find David, and I'm going to assist him any way possible to encourage him. Do you not wish that lots of folks would have that kind of resolve about being a blessing to somebody else? You know, wouldn't it be wonderful to find people that you know are hurting, drop them a line, and encourage them in the things of the Lord? Instead of calling them up, yeah, you deserve what you're getting. It's not really a help, is it? How many think this is the way we should live our lives? Me. Me and Teresa and Vern. Thank you. The rest of you don't, obviously. But I think it would be a good way to live our lives. How many here want to be used by God? How many think this would be a vital ministry? Sure. So why aren't we doing it? Doesn't the Bible say, ye which are spiritual, help those who have fallen? Something to that effect? Yeah, but it's so much easier just to stomp them when they're down. It is easier, isn't it? But is that what we're supposed to be doing? You know, think about this. You know, if you're married, when's the last time you told your husband, I'm so glad that you're a spiritual man, that I see you reading the Word of God, that I see you praying every day, I see you being actively involved in the church, and I see you living out the faith that you claim? When's the last time you encouraged them? What about you husbands? When's the last time you told your wife, I'm glad, well,
Maybe you don't have one, but you should. I'm glad that you're a godly woman. I'm glad that, you know, you strive to serve the Lord and live for Him. When do you do that? Have you ever done it? Or do we just take that for granted? You know, this morning, Connie said something nice to me to that effect. Now, she didn't know I was going to speak on that this morning. She didn't look over my sermon, nor did she write it. I don't get her approval on what I'm preaching. She ain't the Father, she ain't the Son, and she ain't the Holy Ghost. But she said something kind to me this morning. But you know, every day she sees me probably anywhere from 2 to 3 hours spending time with the Lord before I start my day. You say, well, aren't you busy, preacher? Sure I am. That's why I need 2-3 hours a day with the Lord. But she said something to me. She said, I'm so glad I married a godly man. I said, well, you had a lot to do with it. Yeah, because I can get wild and run off the rails real quick if I don't have that still small voice. John. She's been a help to me. You know, when's the last time your parents maybe saw your child reading the Bible and said, you know, I'm so grateful that you're reading the Word of God and that you enjoy going to church and that, you know what, you're keeping your eyes on Jesus. When's the last time you said that? Well, we can pick out all kinds of bad things for them, right? But when's the last time you said something like that to encourage them? How many think that might be a help? You know, this much I know. Everyone has hard times. If you're not having a hard time at this particular moment, you're about to. I remember listening to this preacher, and he would close his little radio broadcast, and he would say this, remember, everybody's having a tough time, so be kind to everyone. Pretty good wisdom there, isn't it? All right, we'll have some more. I had a little bit. You said,